sort of like in canon.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, that's very good. Let me see if I caught, I heard Helen first, and then I heard Randy, and then I think it was Dan, but I may be wrong.
It was me.
It was, okay. Now, Helen, you speak very loudly. Randy, you're a good second. And Dan, can you increase your volume during class?
I'll see what I can do. I've got my little headset thing on full volume now.
Right. Well, that was better just then.
Okay.
What is it, like a mouthpiece?
It's an earphone kind of deal with a
headset.
Mouthpiece deal.
With a mouthpiece on it, right?
Yeah, I usually cut my hand around the mouthpiece when I talk to try to get some volume on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where did you get your unit?
Office Depot.
You might look at the one Radio Shack has. It's very inexpensive. I don't know what you paid for the one in Office Depot, but we've had real good results with it.
Am I any louder now?
A little bit, yeah.
I am cranking on this volume thing here.
Right.
Okay, I think I'm maxed out now.
Yeah, well, that's a little better. Cool. And Magnus, are you there?
I'm here.
Good. And you need to be a little louder too, okay?
I think it has to do with my phone also.
Well, that's better. Right then was better. So if you can continue with that amount of, what do they call it, projection, that would be wonderful. And is Jennifer with us?
Yep.
Oh, hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
And you're quite audible. That's very nice. Thank you. I'm only doing this because otherwise Stephanie has to go through and edit every person when they speak and change and raise the volume. It means she has to do the entire tape. So, and plus, it still doesn't always give you all proper, audio, so that when you hear, when you or anyone listens to the tape, we want to make sure you're heard, because what you say is more important than what I say. So, have you all lit your candles?
Uh-huh.
Yes, good. And here, I've been speaking so much, I didn't. But I will. Magnus, would you do the blessing of the candle for us?
I like so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Child of wonder, child of flame, nourish our spirits and protect our ends.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So, Helen, what was with intention? What did you notice from that, and how did it serve you?
I felt that there were several synchronicities this week where the clearer I was on intention, it felt like support came attached to it.
And any ways that you want to let us know how that support came?
One, I was listening to a radio program, and someone local was on the radio, and I had previously been thinking that in terms of my work and my practice, that there were some areas where I felt I could use assistance in getting clearer about how to help people.
Right.
And this woman was talking about Jinshin, and I found myself getting very excited about that as a possibility, and went on her website, and she actually has a workshop coming up next week on it. So the timing of that was very fascinating to me. I have been looking into the possibility of relocating.
Mm-hmm.
No time immediately, but suddenly found myself thinking about New Zealand, which kind of amazed me that that would come up for me. And I mentioned it to a friend, and turns out she has a friend who lives in New Zealand half the year and in Boulder the other half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent some time with her this morning. And so it's just been things like that. When I've been putting my mind to something, it feels like the support is there.
And it just starts to manifest.
Right. And it's not that I have a clear sense about whether either of these routes be something that I'll, you know, stay with, but it feels like the support is there for me to explore them.
Yeah. One thing you said that interested me, you said when you put your mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
With mind and feelings.
Yeah, I'm not sure that intention is actually an output of mind.
Uh-huh.
I think it may be something else, but that's all right, you know?
Okay.
I know exactly what you're indicating. But you see how interesting it is that our language gives us certain little traps that we can fall into so conveniently, such as I put my mind to it, or make up your mind, which from a shaman's point of view is totally impossible. You can't make up your mind. You can make up your bed or your face, but not your mind.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was only mind that was involved.
No, certainly it wasn't, or else it wouldn't have given you those...
I say mind because when I suddenly find an urge to start to explore what New Zealand might be like, I mean, my mind gets involved in terms of I go to the library and I get on the website and that kind of thing.
That's not your mind either. That's action. That's fire.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's just mind.
Right on. It obviously isn't. And I was only mentioning it because of the like I say, the way we use our language, you know.
Yes. Okay.
So then what was it like with doing the day greetings and day endings? And did you get any kind of response in doing those?
I had a very hard time remembering them, so that they never happened quite at the day beginning or quite at the day end, although I know you can do them at any point. But that was the main thing I noticed was I had difficulty remembering, getting that groove going.
So what did you do to help that?
Well, when I would think of it, that's when I would do it.
Okay. So what could you have done to help that?
I probably could have put a post-it on my lamp by my bed at night when I turn the lamp off.
Yeah, you could have done that.
Yeah, or by my clock.
Yeah, either of those would be useful, or on the refrigerator.
Yeah. For me, refrigerator wouldn't do it, but...
Oh, you don't go to the refrigerator in the morning?
No, not always. I've been eating a lot of fruit in the morning that isn't in the refrigerator, but
sure.
Fast food.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, on the table, on the counter. I mean, there are places where you could probably post reminders.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because when you find yourself, like, what I'm suggesting is if you go one day in an exercise, you know, a new exercise, and you find that you're not meeting it somehow, set up devices. of some kind.
Right.
Because that may help that whole thing of intention, too. You might even have more synchronistic events. So anyway, when you did do it, was there anything you noticed or any response or...
Yes, something I can't exactly tell where it came from. Mm-hmm. Certainly open that it was this. There's just a very strong connection for me this week with feeling supported.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's certainly a response.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not important that you know. I think it's more accurate that you don't know where it's coming from.
Uh-huh.
Because you just started doing this.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it felt great.
Randy, what was with intention as an exit ritual like for you?
Well, I felt that I had intention, but exactly what the focus was, I'm not sure. I felt that my intention was directed other than the world I see.
Oh, okay. So, if you had it, but it was not directed towards the world you see, how did you know you had it?
Well, I felt a connection with Mother Earth and Father Sky.
Okay.
And basically, it was just sort of a, how can I explain it? A sense? I'm not sure.
Well, I used...
It wasn't thought. I mean, it wasn't mind.
No, I understand that. I'm not even actually asking about that so much as your statement that I had intention, but it was not directed at the world that I see. You know, and so I guess what that says to me is that there's a shift in your belief system.
It's trying to happen.
Who's resisting?
I mean, I've been wanting it to happen for a long time to have a shift in my belief system.
Okay. but you recognize that something resists. Yeah, all right, cool. I mean, that's a very interesting set of experiences. So what happened with you, with your day greetings and day endings, and what did you notice?
Well, I have to tell you this. Like Helen, I spaced them out and...
never remembered the entire week.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you a question. After class, do you look over the homework?
Yes.
You read all the different homework exercises?
I do.
Good.
Sometimes, though, I don't read them right after class. It may be Wednesday or Thursday before I sometimes will look at them.
That's your error.
That's my error is right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important that all of us, I have to do this, that you either take that sheet that has the homework exercises on it, or you write your own and you put it up where you can see it every day.
All right.
Because otherwise, I know what we're doing. We're waiting until the last of the week to sort of then cram in the homework. And that is not the study of magic.
True.
Might as well just be in kindergarten or some other school, but that's not this school. That's not what we're doing.
Yeah.
If we want our lives to change, we've got to do this daily.
Mm.
You know, otherwise, you know, we're just sort of, you know, kind of dreaming about it, you know, but it really takes that kind of commitment. And that's why we interviewed you guys at the beginning and asked you the question, how much time are you willing to put in this? Now, you all might want to think back and remember what you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, now, I'm not unhappy with your results at all. I'm not unhappy with what you all are doing. But my question is, are you guys happy with what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, because, you know, it's your discovery, it's your experience.
Yes.
And like I said to Helen, if you find, you know, you need to review and say, okay, now what is new for the homework and how am I going to make a plan for the week? How am I going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you all forget. Cool.
All right.
Dan, how about you? What was with intention like for you as an exit ritual?
It just seems that everything is becoming just increasingly more intense and focused. And it felt like that, or it didn't felt like, it feels like that the universe is working in ways that I can feel that is working, but I can't see nor point out nor say it is doing this, but I can feel and have a sense that there are workings going on to my benefit that are just continuous.
Good. Good. That, by the way, Carlos, well, Don Juan calls that the abstract speaking.
Uh-huh.
You know, that it is a force which we cannot identify, and yet, at the same time, we're aware that it's there.
Well, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, that's very much. And then, what was your day greetings and day endings like on top of that?
It seemed to blend into that. I didn't notice anything differently. It's just, but then again, everything in my life seems to be changing with this intensity. It's like, you know, trying to jump on a moving train or something.
Right.
So I couldn't say. I just could say.
Right, because there's so much change in your life and so many new factors that you can't quite identify each one.
No, not at all. Not even, I mean, there's just so much more going on than what I can sit down and try to ponder it and, you know, and categorize it and identify it. But it's just moving so fast that I just don't think that would be possible for me to really do that.
Well, it is possible. If you would start only if with the exit rituals and day greetings and day endings and make it a big part of your sort of inner work for the week to determine what it is doing. And even though, as you say, your mind is telling you that you can't separate it all out, you know?
Uh-huh.
However, if you decide that what you want to do even though you realize that you can't necessarily identify all the sort of synchronicities and how they get into your life. But at the same time, if you say, okay, I have this exit ritual to do, and I have this day greeting and day ending, and, you know, as we're doing this coming week, walking in my knowing, which is a great one for this exercise, make it your task to discover what that is doing. See, because then you will, you know, because a magician and a shaman, either one, our work is to be able to identify the processes that are working in our life. a lot of people who study magic, if you were in most of the schools, what you said would be totally enough. It would be wonderful and amazing, and that would be good enough. But you see, we want to know how all these different energies work for us. Does that make sense to you?
Sure.
So that's you know, that's how you can start with that, just that simple thing. Since we do the Beauty Way every week in every course we teach, that's kind of your anchor. Make that, I want to know what it's doing. And you will. If you set your intention, you will get it.
Oh, I absolutely believe that.
Wonderful. Magnus, what was with intention like in your life?
Excuse me. I don't know how to begin, but I, in a nutshell, thank you for the wake-up call.
Okay.
because things happened, and the week, everything was moving on smoothly. Then on Thursday, I think the heaven or the earth kind of open up or something. On Thursday, if you guys don't mind, let me give a brief story about what happened. I was at work, trying to get back to the office. A little girl was riding a bicycle, coming out of a trailer park down a slopey place. I was heading north, she was heading, she wanted to turn to south. I suppose there was no brake. She lost control completely. Instead of being on her lane, going south, turning south, she ran in front of me. How I control my truck and run into a ditch, I cannot tell. Even neighbors who were around and everybody in transit stopped. I mean, we blocked the whole highway. Everybody was waiting till police gets there, and I mean, police never asked me a question because the witnesses said what happened.
So she was not hit.
She hit on the side of my truck.
Oh, she did.
Yes, and fell down. I believe it's her bicycle, because if it was her arm or body, she wouldn't have lived.
I see, but she was okay.
She was okay. Rushed to the hospital, and I called the hospital the next day. They said she was checked up and released. She went home.
Oh, good. Good.
Okay. Just same day, I stopped by the office, signed off the paper going towards another job I needed to complete. The first one happened around 5. Around 8, I was driving. A tree limb fell off, and it was raining slightly. Well, the road was wet. I'm not so sure if it was raining at that time. It fell off like less than 12 feet before me. The circumference about 4 or 5 inches. I stopped the brake. There was nothing I can do but to run it over. Get to the end of the road, hit my brake, and ran into the ditch again. Another ditch.
Oh, my goodness.
3 times.
Oh, my goodness.
So, in a long time, the next day, I said, I'm not leaving home to any fault unless I consecrate this truck. So, I was making fun of it at work. I said, man, my truck can always run into the ditch. Kind of whatever jumping they call it. We were laughing. But I wasn't hurt, no pain, nothing. Now, before I left work the next day, I had to check out my staff, which I've not touched in donkey years now. Got my staff, picked up a red candle, got water, and did consecration with Psalm 24 and sprinkled it on my car before I left home. Then I went to work. Now, yesterday, around something to 10, I was heading back to sign up for the night. Somebody left his lane completely. And it rained again. The road was a little bit wet. I was completely a drive on my lane. I don't know if he was drunk or asleep. I just hit the brake and swerved. He came to his senses and pulled over to his lane and kept on going. Then when I began to look through all that happened this week, I began to get the idea, and coupled with what you were saying, you know, how we have to be up to it and don't relent. And I've been relenting for a long time, even before I joined this class and studying. Something is telling me, say, hey, you got to buckle up.
Right.
Yes, you got to buckle up. This with intention is letting you know that you got to wake up. You've not been doing what you were used to. You do it on daily basis and most of the time fasting and all that. And do some kind of ritual prayers. But since you've been here, it's like you forgot all about those.
Mm-hmm.
And the classes you are taking, you don't even, sometimes you cannot keep it until you have time. Because I was waiting on doing the assignment for this week, doing it within the weekend, and this happened. I said, well, I got to learn my lesson now before it's too late.
Well, I think you had a great lesson for all of us.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's so graphic, you know. It's really wonderful that nobody had to be killed for that lesson. You know, so I really appreciate that. And that's my point. I don't want us to have terrible events in our life before we wake up and get it. That's close enough.
It is.
Yeah, it is. So
I was asking at work, I'm sorry, that they put a jinx on me. I said, well, they may try, but they will not succeed. Because everybody was baffled.
Yeah, but you know there's higher forces working with you.
Exactly.
Right. So what was your day greetings and day endings like? How did that affect you?
Oh, those I never missed. I mean, it's like something tells me, regardless when I leave home, but as I open my door first thing in the day, that's the greeting I would do. And by the time I finally say I'm not going outside anymore for the day, that's the last thing I do. And when each and every time I do it, I have this conviction that somebody's listening to me and is taking care of, you know, the greeting.
That's right. That is right. That is correct. So honor that and appreciate that, because that is true.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Magnus. Jennifer, what was your with intention like for you as an exit ritual?
I've been trying to just say that. I think when you said it's a shift in the belief system that fit what I was feeling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I was little, I'd always be told, oh, that's silly, that's not what's there or that. But it is. You know that sensation you pick up, that knowing you have?
Yes.
That's right down the path. And if you listen to that, you're far, far better off.
That's right. And that's more what intention is connected to.
And that's what I I felt.
And how about the day greetings and day endings? How did they affect you?
I got the same sensation. And I felt it was a definite shift or a definite start.
Mm-hmm.
And a pleasant ending.
Good.
And I felt it was more into me.
Right.
Having the chaos of it.
Right. So in other words, it actually is sort of like, I like the way you said it, it's almost like an insulation for my day.
Yeah, yeah.
It sort of, it begins it and it ends it. So, you know, and I'm in some kind of different place because of that, because I have used intention to begin my day, and I'm using intention to end my day. I really like that. That's a really good idea. It's not just a good idea. It is what it is.
And the forces are taking me more serious, or giving me I'm getting more.
Right. Right. And,
so.
Well, this is important for you. It's important for all of us because you have told me for some time now that you felt dishonored in the world. I don't mean, you know, you know what I mean by dishonored, not seen, not as though you didn't exist almost in the world. And you see, this is the world that you are being honored in. It's this world. It's not the world of ordinary people. Do you understand?
I'm starting to, yeah.
Well, that's, you will. You will more and more. Because that's not your world. That is not your true world. You can operate in that world, but it is not your true world. Remember Christ said, be in the world, but not of the world?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't feel this is my true world.
Well, I know that you're coming to that.
Yeah.
That's what I meant, which is real different from when I met you here, when you came to Olathe to see us. You wanted something, but you didn't know what you wanted.
That's true.
And this is what you're wanting. This is,
mm-hmm.
You know, this is fabulous, Randy.
Yeah.
Fabulous that you are finally seeing, you know, where your place is, or sensing it.
I'm sorry, I just lost my connection to my telephone for a moment.
Well, I just said it was fabulous that you are finding your place in the world, or seeing your place in the world, or sensing it.
Yeah.
That's really very, very important.
I think it is in order to, and this is, and what we're doing is certainly, accelerating that.
Absolutely. Because, you see, we are applying principles that exist but are virtually unknown. And through our experience, we are getting in our knowing how this all works. And then, as Dan said, in some ways it's an abstract. We can't yet explain it, and that's good. But it's through these principles that we understand it. So that's just remarkable. That's right on. And so, like I said, for this coming week, and take this seriously, you guys. Sky Father and Earth Mother, walking in my knowing, I greet you. These things are what you are here for. Everything else you do is not what you're here for. This is what you're here for. This is what you're on this planet for. And the day greeting is Wings of Knowledge, walking in my knowing, I bid you good morning. And the day ending is Wings of Knowledge, walking in my knowing, I bid you good night. This is your safety net, but you've got to find that out.
So is it knowing or knowledge? Or does it matter?
It's winds of knowledge, walking in my knowing.
Okay.
I bid you good morning. And the actual ritual is Sky Father and Earth Mother, walking in my knowing, I greet you. And that's different. If you did walking in my knowledge, that would be a different thing. It would create a different effect than walking in my knowing. But you have to find that out. So then, fire bowls and room cleaning or house cleaning. Helen, what did you do with that, and what did you discover?
I didn't do any of the homework except for the day, the greetings.
Okay. Are you ready to key your wand today?
No, I didn't do any of it.
What do you need to do to be ready?
You mean for class?
Well, I mean for keying your wand, because we're going to key them in class today.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you don't know, who does know?
Well, when you say, what do I need to know?
Oh,
I
mean, have you made your wand?
No, that's what I'm saying. Except for the greetings, I didn't.
Well, we've had 4 weeks to make a wand. You know, when will you have your wand made? Can you have it made by Wednesday?
Is it Wednesday evening?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can have it made by Wednesday evening.
Okay, so then I'll help you key it in lab. How about that?
Okay, that's great.
Okay, good. But you have your fireball?
I have the fireball, yeah.
Okay, so what would be stopping you from doing a room cleaning or a house cleaning?
Nothing. It was pretty much based on my week last week. It was a choice. I'm not saying I went unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
I found my focus this week. I actually felt extremely connected to spirit, but it didn't come out in terms of doing the homework.
Okay. Can you have done a room cleaning or a house cleaning by Wednesday?
I think so.
Do you know how long it takes? And yet,
I've actually done them before, so it's not the time.
Okay.
I just didn't do one this week.
Okay. You've done it with a fireball?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Where did you learn that?
A woman here in Boulder.
Wicca, or?
I mean, it was somewhat different than what you did, but it was the same principle.
Okay.
And it was actually quite euphoric for me, the time I had done it before. And the whole feeling of the energy in my house totally changed.
Okay. Well, we'd like to hear you report on doing it, you know, this way and see, you know, what you notice.
Right.
Cool. So you will?
Yes.
That's a commitment.
Yes.
Good, thanks. Randy?
Yes. I did a room cleaning.
And what was that like for you?
Well, you know, At first I went around the room to see if there was any sensations of abnormalities or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I went around twice, and there was this one spot in the room that was sort of right next to a very large mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'd get to that spot, it was almost like a cat with its, you know, fur standing on end.
Yeah, right, I know the feeling.
I'd get that feeling, and it'd be like a rush, and I'd get goosebumps, and you know, start to lose sense of my body.
Right on.
And so then I did the cleaning, and it took a little while to get my charcoal going.
It can, yeah.
Yeah, but I went over the room a couple of times, and then I went around again without after the cleaning, and didn't get didn't get anything, feelings at all. It just felt neutral.
Mm-hmm. So that hair standing on end feeling had gone.
Yeah. And I'm beginning to think it might not have been the mirror. It might have been, I have a stack of old wall pictures that they're sitting on the floor, and some of them came from my parents' house, and it's possible that those objects had something charged in them.
Yeah, it's possible. Yes, indeed. So, well, good. So you saw that it makes a difference.
Yes.
Did you like the process of doing the cleansing, charging the fireball and so forth?
Yes, I did. I like the process.
Good.
I also did a cleaning of myself.
Oh, good. How did that feel?
I felt kind of the same way I felt after I got a treatment from you.
Aha, uh-huh. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
So a real shift in paradigm.
Well, somewhat. It was just, some sort of a awareness that I couldn't put a feeling on.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's outside of our normal experience, so how could we put a feeling on it?
Mm-hmm.
Dan, how about you?
It did not feel comfortable or feel like that I had a continuity of the process, and I wanted to try it again, but I ran out of time before class.
When you say it didn't feel comfortable, could you explain that a little bit? You mean you didn't feel like you knew what the process was?
Yeah, I wasn't comfortable enough, even though I read it and then attempted to do it. I didn't feel effective with it. Or I didn't feel comfortable enough that I felt like I was being effective with it. That's probably the best way to explain it.
Yeah, I understand that. But that does not necessarily mean that you are not effective.
Okay.
You see, where do you think doubt comes from? What part of us?
My mind.
Yeah. And your mind has very little to do with evaluating this process.
Well, let me put it this way. I didn't feel like I had my alignment was good in doing that.
Okay. So,
where
did it seem to break down?
All along the process.
In other words, you couldn't get the charcoal lit, or you...
Well, I got that. It took a little longer than I had anticipated it would take to do that, but it was more...
Did you hold it over a candle flame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure that when I was doing the breathing with the sun yellow, I didn't feel that I was connecting there.
Just do it. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Well, see, when you start to do some of these more advanced techniques, where you're doing more than sort of one thing at once, don't try to be so taken with each part of it.
Okay.
Just do it. Because it's more than your mind can take in. No, I understand exactly what you're having, you know, and so you just sit there and you're breathing sun yellow onto that charcoal, okay? That's all you have to know. You don't have to analyze, well, where do I get, you know, how am I getting it from the candle to me, and how am I not getting into my lungs, and how am I, actually breathing it out. It's sort of like back when we were doing boxes, you know, first aid.
Uh-huh.
And we said, okay, now you're going to pull the color into the box.
Yeah.
The intellectually centered person would sort of shut down right there. How the hell can I do that? Right?
Right.
But we just do it.
Okay.
We trust that if we intend and we're looking at that color and we're holding the box there and it's an empty box, that somehow we don't know yet much about tractor beams. I mean, I can explain every bit of this to you magically as to how it works, but that is pointless at this point. Because it's more information than you want to process. But down the road, you will. Right now, it's more important to have the experience of it. So, it's like, just sort of, did you watch the video?
Yes.
Good. Just copy what Stephanie does, and you'll do great.
Yeah, I think I just need to try it again.
Sure. No, I understand. I understand. I've had the same experience, Dan. I'm just giving you permission to go even beyond that sort of sense of I didn't do anything. You know what I'm
saying? Oh, I did have a success.
So what happened?
On the camera plane.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
You want to tell us about it?
It was very brief, but the flame actually jumped up and kind of separated in the middle horizontally.
Got it.
Not vertically, but horizontally.
No, I understand.
It jumped up, and then I watched it and watched it and watched it for a long time to see if there was anything else, any air currents, any change, anything else that's going to make it have that same action. And it would, you know, sway around and stuff, but there was nothing else that caused it to do that same thing. So I'm going to take credit for it now.
Oh, well, that's nice of you. We're so glad you're willing to take credit for what you do.
just the humble kind of guy I am.
and a little bit on the analytical side. That's cool. And so you'll do the room clean again, let us know how it goes, huh?
Yeah, I'll do that again.
And you're ready to key your wand?
Yeah, I've got everything
here. And Randy, you're ready to key yours?
I'm at the key on Wednesday.
Oh, okay. You haven't made yours either, huh?
I haven't made mine either.
Okay, get to it.
All right.
Okay.
I'll get it by Wednesday.
All righty. And Magnus, did you do a room cleaning or house cleaning?
No. The week was...
You don't have to explain. You either did it or you didn't.
I didn't.
Okay. And are you ready to do your wand today?
No, it's not ready.
Okay, can you have it ready for Wednesday?
When is Wednesday? Last?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What time is it?
It's at 6
Mountain Time.
6 o'clock Mountain Time, which I believe is 5 California time.
And then that will be like around 7 here.
Oh, where are you?
I'm in Central.
Oh, you're in Central. It'll be 7 o'clock, right.
Oh. And at that time, I will be at work.
Work at night?
Yeah, it kind of starts afternoon, then runs in.
Okay, wait a minute. Can you have your wand ready for tomorrow night? Class. We have class tomorrow night, too.
How about coming Monday? Because since this didn't happen, I insisted on my supervisor to give me additional day off. I just got from the day off completely last 2 weeks. And, you know, he said he promises me after this Monday, the next one, I'll be off. Is it possible I do it at that time?
A week from Monday?
A week from Monday, yes, sir.
No, we won't be doing that in class a week from Monday.
Okay.
So you need to let me know when you've got your wand made. Can you know as soon as possible?
Okay.
Actually, you don't, I mean, you can key it on your own if you will do that. You don't have to do it with me. I would prefer, but if you can't make it to lab, then you better do it on your own, because we've got things to do with the wand this week. So when do you think you can get it made?
This is by the time I'm thinking of, because for the grain to really dry up and things like that, unless it's not bad, if it's fresh, still it looks like it's going to be around that time when I'll be at home.
Okay, well, why don't you call me when you've got it made, and I'll watch the video, and then so I'll know you're ready to do it, okay?
Okay.
All righty. Jennifer, how about you? Have you done, did you do a house cleaning?
Oh, yes, yes.
And what was that like?
Oh, I really got a thrill charging the bulb.
Oh, yeah, I do too, yeah.
First, I started with these two rooms. Like, we have a double white. It's 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's new. There's not going to be bad energy. So, first, I did these two rooms. And it took a lot of the tension out of them and opened them up. And then I did the whole house.
Cool.
And then I noticed, I know when we set this that we didn't pass the electrical inspection the first time. And that caused a lot of anger and stuff. And I had to do the electrical box wall like 4 times for the smoke would stick.
Oh, really? Uh-huh.
And then I noticed in the bathroom that I had to go back and do it 2 or 3 times. So we asked for an extra window. That must have really stressed someone there, maybe.
I see.
I picked that up while I was smoking the house. And then it was real pleasant in that. I like that.
Yeah, so it really does. We begin to notice how these energies imprint into the walls and see they're radiating on us.
Yes, yes.
And sensitive people, the more sensitive you are, the more, it affects us anyway, but then you get a greater effect, and therefore when you liberate it, you have a more sacred space.
That's for sure, yeah. I really like it.
And are you ready to key your wand today?
Yes, I do.
Good. Well, we'll do it. So I want to talk about the wand first and tell you all how to use it. And then we'll go ahead, those of us who are ready, we'll go ahead and key them. And I want the rest of you to take part anyway, so that even though you're going to do it Wednesday, and Magnus, even though you may be doing it on your own, it'll help, because as Dan said, sometimes we're not real comfortable with the process. But it is a very easy process. So don't let your minds tell you it's difficult and put it off endlessly and so forth. It shouldn't take you guys more than an hour to make your wand, really. It's not that difficult. And if you, in your notes, there's a really nice drawing, even though the wand there is cut in half, so to speak, so you can see either end rather than seeing the whole length of it. I don't know what page number it's on in your notes.
30,
if that's what it is in mine, too. Okay, so that gives you a good idea of what it is to look like. The tip, you don't want it too sharp, and the end, a nice broad notch, you know, that's creasing up either side. And, it's not that hard to do. Do it so that you can, because this is where you're going to start to learn how to take care of yourselves, how to do shielding, how to shield your property, your house, your apartment, your car, and how to key those shields to do what you want it to do. So this is important. This is, tools are where we really get to expand our ability. And
do you remember our fireballs going?
You don't have to get them, light them yet. I'll tell you when. But do watch the videos, because particularly on doing these omnals, these shields, and these energy spheres, it's important that you draw them accurately and not waver them. Not, it may take a little practice for some of us. But tools are where we extend our own energies. It gives you a greater reach and a greater ability. Just like, you know, just like in Harry Potter stuff, except it's just theirs isn't very accurate in terms of what they actually do. And of course, being an air tool, the wand only will handle air energies, which is clear white and sky blue. So don't try to pull other energies into your wand, because one, it'll unkey it, and two, it will damage it if you try to run fire water energies through it. So, or certainly earth energies. So it's an air tool, and respect that. But just like you learned with you all that did cleansing with the fireball, how it can clear out energies that are cause resistance and conflict, junky energies, the wand also does that. You can use it on yourself, other people, animals, whatever, to do that. And so when you key it, it clears out, and you know, even though your notes say you don't have to charge the fireball to key it, do charge the fireball, because you want to clean it first, and then you key it, and it attunes that tool, the wand, to your energies, and it aligns the energies in the wand so that the air energies will flow through it smoothly and rapidly. So I'll talk about how we key it when we do it. And if you have an altar that you've sort of created in your in any of your rooms or where you want to keep your tools, that's a good place to store your wand. If not, you want to keep it wrapped in either leather, cotton, silk, or linen, some natural material, and you want to store it so that it's in an east-west direction. So the notched end would be to the east and the point end to the west. And that keeps energies flowing through it so it doesn't unkey so easily. But if you store your wand for a long period of time and don't use it, you probably will have to rekey it, because being an air tool, it doesn't hold its key as long. Like an athame will hold it for life. A wand tends to not hold it so well if you don't use it. And don't hit it on things either, because that tends to unkey it. So there's two operations we're going to study today that we'll do with the wand. And these are very, very important operations. That's why I'm very anxious for you all to get your wands keyed so you don't get behind in the use of these. One is to send messages. It's a very powerful message-sending tool, much stronger than boxes, and very easy to do. You can do it in clear, white, or powder blue. So to send a message or to build omnals, which we'll do next, you face east. And, of course, you're going to hold your wand in your right hand. Now, if you're left-handed, I would still say hold it in your right hand, because you'll get better performance since the way you're facing is east and you want your wand to the south of you. And you want a color source to pull from with your left hand. So you reach, put your color source somewhere to your left, or in front of you, open your left palm, pull energy from the color source into that hand, and pull it all the way across your shoulders and into the wand. In the case of sending messages, you don't want to send it out the tip of the wand, you just store it. And the way you do that is you hold your arm up. Your wand is in your right hand. Two fingers are along the length of the wand. The notch end is in the palm. And your thumb and your last two fingers hold the wand. So you put your arm out, your right arm out to your right side, and the wand is facing the ceiling. So in other words, your arm is bent at a 90-degree angle. And that way, the energy goes into the wand but does not flow out. So you load the wand with either white, clear, or powder blue. And then you turn your head and you look at the wand, put the person's face in the wand, see the message in the wand, and then lower your arm. Your palm is facing upwards, and the wand is pointing to the south. And you shoot the message out of the wand, just like it were a gun. It's just that simple. So any questions on that process?
Alan, would you go just one more time over the hand position about kind of your fingers and where it is in the palm?
Yeah. Your thumb and your last two fingers grip the wand. The notch is sort of right there, again, in the center of your palm. And your middle finger and your index finger, or whatever they call it, pointing finger, first finger, run up along the length of the wand. Is that fairly clear? Dan, is that clear?
You're gripping it with the last two fingers of the thumb, and the pointer finger and middle finger are along, extended along.
Up the wand, right.
Got it. Okay, I'm there.
Yeah. And that's the same position you'll do for omnals, except that with omnals, the palm is down. Message sending, the palm is up. Or when you're holding the wand out to your side, the palm faces you. Of course, then when you lower your forearm to be parallel to the ground, your palm is facing up.
I have a question.
Okay.
Did you say that after starting the energy by pointing out and seeing the face and the message, that when we need to unload the message, we have to point to the south?
Yeah, you lower your arm so that you're facing east, okay?
Yes.
But your wand will be facing south. It's
okay.
It's at your side.
Okay, you don't have to move around, okay.
No, you stay still.
Yes.
Yeah, and thanks. You actually corrected me. You say the message out loud. I don't think I said that.
Okay.
But you're right. Yeah, and see, that's different from a message ball or a message box, is we don't say the message out loud with those. We put the message in it. But in this case, you put the energy, either white, clear, powder blue, in the wand. You put the person's face in the wand, but you say the message as you straighten your arm. Got it?
Got it.
Okay, now, let's talk a little bit about omnals and what they are. Okay, when people say, surround yourself in white light, this is a generic term which is somewhat misleading. What they're actually talking about, what this came from, was the use of omnals or shields. So when you say surround yourself in white light, what that means, it's actually a shield that is built of the color electric blue, which people have interpreted to be white light because it's galactic fire energy. And it's the energy that stars emit and suns emit and so forth. And it's the shield, when you build it, and if you see it, is a spinning sphere. It's like being surrounded with a bubble of energy that is spinning clockwise. It's called an omnil because it means all, nothing. It's from the two words omni, meaning all, and nil, meaning nothing. And the reason it's called that is because when you're inside an omnil, functionally, you're outside of matter, space, and time. You have cut yourself off from normal events of matter, space, and time in the phenomenal world. And the way we do it is we build these and then we key them verbally or picturally, visually, whatever you want to call it, envisioningly, to keep out anything that we don't want to get into us or to put outside of the shield, which is around you or something else that you put it around, or another person if you put it around them, or your animal if you put it around them. It's something you don't want inside of you, you can put outside of your omnil, such as fear, judgment, self-loathing, anger, whatever. But remember that because we're working with the wand, when we build air omnils, you want to put out air things. Excess thinking, worry, cold, hot, heat, if you're too hot. Also, you can shield out air-type things, such as other people's opinions, insects, mosquitoes, flies, and so forth. So it's a two-stage process. You build the shield, and then you key the shield. And you always do that. You don't just build it and then walk away. You build it and you key it. You haven't done it if you don't key it. Yeah, it is possible to put up a generic omnil, but what's going to happen if you do is you're going to be cut off from everything. And people have done this, and literally, they don't get phone calls, they don't get their mail, they stop getting checks, wages. I mean, don't do it. It's not worth it. It's bizarre. These are very effective seals, and they need to be keyed to exactly what you want them to do. So, how do you do it? It's really very easy, but be precise. First, how do you put it around yourself? You hold your wand in your right hand. You have a color to pull from, just like you did with the message sending. You face east. Now you're going to draw three circles around you by moving in a clockwise direction in three different circle patterns. And you don't want those circles to be wavy and you want them all to be right angles to one another. If you don't, you will get dizzy. Some people may start throwing up. So after you draw your omno, you wait for a second. You cradle your wand and wait to see if you feel okay before you key it. If you don't feel okay, cut it down and do it again. You don't want to be walking around being seasick all day. It's a nuisance. So the first circle is just like you had a hula hoop around you at your waist. It's not quite at the waist because you're going to draw it about shoulder height. In other words, you put your wand out in front of you, pointing east, and you turn your body around clockwise in a full circle, just holding your wand out in front, remembering that you actually send an energy beam out of the tip of the wand and extend it out in space a little bit. So the shield is, you know, a little more than a wand's length away from you. And you, like I say, you just turn around in a full circle, come right back to where you started, and that's your first circle. Then you raise your hand straight up overhead. And you draw your second circle, which obviously has to go not only over your head, but under your feet. It doesn't cut off at the knees. And that's a circle like a clock, down to your right, right by your knees, and back up overhead. So it's a circle as though you were a clock face, side to side. That's your second circle. And your third circle is again from overhead towards the back. You reach behind you. And that's the circle that people tend to make wavy because they're not paying attention. You want a clean circle. It goes behind you and down beside your right leg and up in front of you to the top. As soon as you've drawn that third circle, you cradle your wand in your arms, stand there, and see if you feel okay. If you feel good and stable, you've got a good omno. If you don't, cut it down and start again. So, do you all have the three circles? Do I need to explain it more? Of course, I hope you all have watched the video already so you know what I'm talking about. But anyone not get it?
Sounds clear.
Good. It's really very easy. How about the rest of you? Everybody got it? Randy, you got it?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Magnus?
Yes.
Jennifer?
Can you say the third circle one more?
Yeah, that's like behind you from the top overhead, reaching behind you. Just like somebody was following you. You know, it's behind you. Your hand goes down behind you, right by me, and up in front of you to overhead.
Okay.
Now that's not, when you've drawn those three circles, that is not a static set of three circles. They are all spinning clockwise. The whole device is spinning just like a top, very fast. And that's why it's such an effective shield, because anything that hits it will glance off. So remember, you can do it in clear, white, or powder blue. The whole thing. You don't do one circle in one color and another circle in another color. You do the whole thing either in clear, white, or powder blue. Okay. So then you cradle your wand, and if you feel stable, then you go ahead and key it. Now, before I tell you how to key it, I better tell you how to cut it down in case it doesn't feel stable, if you got it up wobbly. You cut it down in the same color that you built it by reverse cutting of the three circles. You cut the last one you did first, the second one second, and the first one last. So you cut it down in reverse order to the order that you built it. At right angles, counterclockwise. to each circle. Now, if that sounds complicated, it's very simple. If the last circle you did is from the top down and back of you and back up, to cut that one down, you just reach overhead, again, emit a beam out of the wand of clear, white, or powder blue, and chop it from right to left. And that cuts that third circle down. To cut the middle circle and the first circle down, you do it in one blow. You reach behind you and cut down in front of you, a little bit lower than the horizon, and you've cut the middle one and the first one down in one chop. Got it? Two cuts. Overhead, right to left, reach behind you a little bit and cut down in front of you, one blow. That's your second chop. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
One coming down in front. Does it come straight down or?
Straight down.
Straight down. So you started from overhead and you're coming straight down with it.
Yeah, a little bit behind overhead you start.
Behind overhead, straight down.
To a little bit below the horizon.
Got it.
Because that will cut number two and number one down respectively. It'll cut number two down first, and then the first one down second.
Oh, they're not two separate blows?
Nope.
I thought there was three.
It's two separate chops.
Okay, good. Okay, then I understood you. All right.
But the first one cuts the third circle down, and the second one cuts number two and number one down.
Okay.
Is that, you following that?
So it's one... one blow for the last two circles.
Exactly.
The middle and the first.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. That is correct. Okay. Now, another thing to watch for as you're building these with your wands, that the back of your hand stays heavenward or upward. Remember, when you're doing your first circle, that's no problem. The back of your hand is just staying where it is. You don't do this palm up. You do this palm down. But with your second circle, you have to turn your hand around as you come across down across your knees. And the third circle, the same way. You don't end up coming up in front or laterally to the side, going upwards with the palm facing upwards. You turn your hand so your palm is always downwards. You all got that? Watch the video. It's, I'm sure, very clear if you watch carefully how Stephanie does her hand. But does that make sense to you all? Do you just remember you want your palm facing downward at all times? I don't hear anybody saying anything, so...
Yeah,
we
got it.
Okay, good. Well, I just want to make sure. Someone may have been swallowed by a dragon, and I might not know it. Okay, so now, how do you key an omno? You've built it. It feels good and stable. You've got it up. Some of you will be able to see them. Some of you won't. That's okay. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what color you built it in. You key it all the same. Okay. So there's three ways to key an omno once you put it up. Whatever sound, noise, smoke. These are great for cigarette smoke, by the way. Which color would be best for cigarette smoke, or any smoke?
White.
Now you guys are way off base. Who? Somebody said something else. What was it?
I said clear.
Of course, it's clear.
Clear. Yeah.
that's breathing and seeing. That will be very useful for smoke, getting smoke from being from affecting you adversely. White would be good for unwanted thoughts or other people's opinions or unwanted beliefs. Review your correspondences if you've forgotten them. Okay, so say I don't want smoke to affect me. Say I'm entering a smoke zone. Everybody's lit up. They're not supposed to, but they're doing it anyway. And I don't like it, and I'm allergic to it, or whatever. Okay, put up your clear omno. So how you key it, there are three ways. You see what you don't want coming in this case the smoke, bouncing off the omno. See it, bouncing off your omno. Envision it. Or the second way of keying it is see the smoke flowing around the omno, but it can't get in. Following the round surfaces around either side, but not getting in. And the third way to key it, if some smoke or effects of the smoke got in already before you got it keyed, push whatever you don't want inside out. See it being pushed outside the omno. So that means that you can key out your own fear of things. Just bring up the sensation of it inside of you and push it outside your omno. See it being pushed outside of your omno. If you have, you want to key an omno against mosquitoes. If you've got a mosquito and he landed on you and you grabbed him or slapped him and he's sort of staggering around because you've sort of bent his wing or something, if you throw him outside your omno, once you got it up, you have now keyed it against mosquitoes. So that's how you key an omno. Now, you can omno your entire house. How do you do that? Go ahead, by the way, while you're listening to me, go ahead and light your charcoals so we can key our omnos. And then once they're burning a little bit, you'll give you time to charge them together. So go ahead and light them. If you want to put an omno around your whole house, stand approximately in the center of your house and just extend the beam outside of the house. And then draw your three circles. And then cradle your wand and key it against unwanted thoughts, opinions, odors, smells, smoke, whatever, sound. Same deal. You can do your car the same way, except with the car, you can't stand inside the car. It's very awkward. So you have to, and that's the same thing. If you want to put an omelet around your dog or somebody else, another person, here's how you do it. Now, this is not mentally going to make any sense whatsoever, but it works. You have the car or the person or the animal east of you. In other words, you're standing behind them there in the east, because that's the way we put up omelets, facing east. You draw the three circles. It looks to anybody else looking at you as though you're drawing them around you, but you project the beam so it actually goes around them or the car. It's like a pentagraphic arm. You move the wand around you, but the ball of energy from the beam of the wand, the tip of the wand, is going right around them, not around you. Anybody get totally lost on that one?
No, it sounds clear.
It's a projection thing. And then, of course, if it's around another person, you have them key it. You don't key it for them. You tell them how to key it. If it's around your car, you key it. Be precise.
Right here.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. I have a question. Since you mentioned another person.
Right.
Will you give them your wife to do it, or?
No. You do it around them, just like I just told you.
Oh, okay.
You project the beam around them.
Okay.
Will you draw it? They do not use your wand. Don't hand your wand to anybody else. You keep your wand for you. Nobody else gets to use it.
Okay.
You draw it as though you're it around you. You turn your body around just like we said, the three circles, but the beam goes around them, or the beam goes around your car. And you can key it against radar, you can key it against fears. You can silver the outside of the animal so it's invisible. There's a lot of things you can do, a lot of tricks. We're just starting out. I want you to practice these animals. Air animals generally will last about a day, and then they begin to deteriorate, whereas fire animals last indefinitely. So I want you all to put up animals every day and take them down at night. Key them to something different every day to get practice. There's reasons for this.
Did you say if you want your car to be invisible, you key it with, did you say silver?
Yeah, but don't do that yet.
Oh, okay.
Because you will make the error that one of our students did and key it. You don't want it to be totally invisible, because if you
right.
do, you know what's going to happen. People are going to be running into you all over the
place. Right, yeah.
You want it selectively invisible. You want it invisible to radar, perhaps.
Right.
But not to anybody.
Right, yeah. No, I was thinking about radar.
Yeah, yeah. Practice putting on those around. Get your wand made and then practice putting around you first. And maybe other people, so you get practice doing that. And, then do your car. Okay, so you all got your charcoal going? Dan and Jennifer?
Yes.
I'm ready.
Okay. Go ahead and put some sage on and some pine resin, or wood chips, sage, and pine resin. Let me know when you've got some smoke going. You all got your stuff on there?
Yeah. Ready.
Dan?
Almost.
Okay, so you got some smoke?
Yep.
Dan, you got some smoke?
I got some smoke.
Good. Go ahead and breathe a little sun yellow into it, both of you. Just go ahead and a few breaths of sun yellow just to give it a chance to develop more smoke. Easy breath, just like those pictures of winds that blow in ancient times on maps and things, or pictures of the globe, just blowing some sun yellow on. And then we're going to start our charge verses. So go ahead and breathe one more breath of sun yellow, and then fire and air where you are cast. You gotta say it. Come on.
Fire and Air, were you a cat?
Dan?
Fire and Air, were you a cat?
Grease on Yellow? Let no spell nor adverse purpose last.
Let no spell or adverse purpose last.
Let no spell or adverse purpose last.
Yeah, it's nor adverse purpose, not or adverse purpose. So that's good enough. Grease on Yellow. Not in accord with me.
Not in accord with me.
Not in accord with me.
Grease on Yellow. What is it? I lost my place. Was it key? Oh yeah, cleanse this tool and cleanse this space.
Cleanse this tool and cleanse this space.
Cleanse this tool and cleanse this space.
Grease on Yellow. Fire from here, send baneful trace.
Fire from here, send baneful trace.
Fire from here, send baneful trace.
Grease on Yellow. Thus my will, so it be.
Thus my will, be it.
Thus my will, so it be.
And breathe one more breath of Sun Yellow. And you're ready to key. So be sure that you're sitting in the south, facing north, and go ahead and take your wand in your right hand, and with the base of the wand, the notch end, facing towards you, and pull it through the smoke slowly, keeping it in alignment, east, well, north to south, I mean, until the smoke clings to it as you pull it through. So do it 3-4 passes, how many it takes, until you notice that the smoke follows the wand and clings to it. Just let me know when it does that. Just carefully keep your attention and your focus on it. Keep it smoothly moving through the smoke, parallel to the ground, pointing north and south. Just glide it through the smoke until it sticks.
Fine, stick.
Good. And Jennifer, you can take your wand and hold it over the smoke upright, the tip pointing up, in your thumb and first finger, holding it a little more than halfway up the length of the wand. Keep your arms sort of out of the way, just right over the smoke until the smoke rises all the way up the length of the wand and off the tip. When it does that, it is keyed. Dan, you're still bringing it through to get it to stick?
No, I've got it up right now.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I'm there.
Okay. And what, of course, I forgot to tell you all is to feel the energy in your wand before you keyed it. But at least you'll get to feel it after you keyed it.
I can tell the difference.
I'm sorry?
I can tell the difference.
Oh, you can already? Yeah. So once you've got it keyed, one way to feel it is to hold your wand in that position I mentioned in your hand with your right hand and sort of sweep it over your left arm, maybe, say, 6 inches above your arm so that it's sort of crossing like a violin bow would over the violin, your arm being like the violin, and just sweep it from your shoulder down to your hand and see if you can feel any energy. Sometimes you'll feel like your hairs rise or whatever, or you feel like there was a little wind flowing over.
Yeah, I feel it.
Cool. How about you, Jennifer?
My book's not going to the top.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Use your intention to pull the smoke. Have you got plenty of smoke?
Well, that might be the problem, too.
Yeah. Put a little more sage and a little more pine resin on the charcoal if you need be. And then if you want, Dan, since you've got your fireball lit, you may want to recharge it, because we didn't say cleanse these walls and cleanse this space, but you could go ahead, because we're going to pretty much, you know, end class once you all have done that. You could go ahead and clean your room or your house.
Okay.
Since you got it lit. And what I do when I want to save the charcoal is put a plate on top of the fireball and let it, you know, go out, and then you can reuse the charcoal. Also, save your fireball ash. Get a jar or something to put it in as you accumulate it, because it's useful. We'll talk about that later, what to do with it, but you want to save it, not throw it away. So, Jennifer, you getting some more smoke now?
Yeah.
And just take your time and hold it over the smoke and and use your intention to lift that smoke right up off the tip.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
Now sort of move it across your arm and see if you feel any aliveness in it. So now you all have your keyed wands, and you can go ahead and practice message sending and putting off omnals while it's fresh in mind. That's what it's all about. You now got a keyed tool. Don't forget to either put it on your altar or wrap it in something and store it in an east-west direction, the notch towards the east, the point towards the west. And that you've got it. So the rest of you sort of get the sort of how you do it. Anybody have any questions about how you key your wands? Helen?
No, no questions.
Did it sort of make sense to you, even though you weren't doing it?
Yeah, it did. It was pretty easy to visualize for
me. Yeah. And like I said, the video kind of shows you the whole process, too. Randy, any questions?
No questions, Helen.
Alrighty.
I haven't seen the video yet, but I'm going to look at it.
Okay. Magnus, any questions?
No questions. It's interesting.
Alrighty. Well, good. So I'll see two of you Wednesday night, and Magnus, you'll call me when you're ready to key your wand, okay?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you all, and
I'm
not coming down on you guys. I'm wanting you to get everything that you want to get out of this course, that's all.
Yeah, that's clear.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, wonderful.
Okay.
You're doing great.
Alan?
Yes?
We're supposed to take the ash out of our fireballs?
Yeah. You know, when it goes out, and if there's excess ash in it, I mean, you can let it accumulate in there over time. You don't have to take it out necessarily, but when it's gotten a lot in there, put it in a special jar or something and save it.
Okay. And where do we get more charcoal?
I think Stephanie's going to put something on the website about that.
Yeah, something came this week.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't use the computer.
Oh, that's right. But you can just get some from us.
Okay.
No problem.
That's great.
Since it lived right down the road.
All right.
Okay, you guys. Thanks.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.